Well, the press conference last night, did it change people's minds? Is Joe Biden good to keep riding? Are people going to keep riding with Biden, or did it make things worse for him? That's the question. Welcome to the Dana Show. It is me, Rich Zeoli from WPHD in Philadelphia, where I do the afternoon drive show. It's great to be with you. I'm sure you watched the press conference last night. I watched the press conference last night. I thought that opening with calling Trump Vice President Trump was a great move to reassure everybody. Look, I think that David Axelrod summed it up best when David Axelrod said that tonight's presser did nothing to reassure people and conversations need to be had. And the reason why I say that is because it proves the point that I've been making, I made yesterday on the show and I've been making on my own show back in Philly, which is that Barack Obama's calling the shots here. You know, he's pulling the strings. We know Biden's a puppet. It's who's the puppet master. And Axelrod is an Obama guy, just like all these other guys are. And Axelrod coming out last night and saying the following, quote, attitudes have been hardened by the Biden press conference. It's time for tough conversations. He said, my assessment was that they made a smart move by having this at the NATO conference, almost like the State of the Union. He's so comfortable in that environment and the Congress and at a NATO conference, which is his strong suit. And in the second half of that press conference, you saw that that's his comfort zone. He's very, very fluent on national security issues, and that's showed in those answers. And some of the answers you played, you saw some of the problems that mean the misspoken name, the stumbles. The other thing is, Axelrod says, at once he says, I need to allay people's concerns, and so I have to be out there more. I have to do more. At the same time, he complained about the length of his schedule and said they were putting too many things on my schedule, and that's why I didn't do well in the debate, and that's really the issue, he says. The issue isn't about his record or history, or it's about his ability to move forward. And when he was asked those questions, he really didn't have a great answer for what people should expect in the future based on what they're seeing now. So I don't think that's changed much. I think a lot of attitudes have now been kind of hardened. I don't think he's going to change them. Now, this is the key. If Biden was at a 10-point lead right now in Pennsylvania or Michigan or something like that, nobody would be having these conversations. The Democrats don't care if he has dementia or Alzheimer's or anything else for that matter. What they care about is winning, and he's not winning, and he's not going to win. And that's why all these conversations are being had. And it doesn't matter if he calmed people last night about his ability to handle a press conference. Unless he gets a major uptick in the polls, it doesn't change anything. This is about winning. This is about winning. And for people who are dedicated, hell-bent on doing whatever they have to do to stop Donald Trump from becoming the next president of the United States. Because it's Trump. If it was Nikki Haley, if it was somebody else who would keep the war in Ukraine going, that'd be a different story. But since Biden is going to lose, that's why these conversations are being had. And the question of did last night help him survive anything? No, because the poll numbers won't change. The poll numbers are not going to drastically change. He's still losing in all the key swing states. And until that changes, nothing else is going to matter. Nothing. And that's the reality. You know, that's the reality. Biden had some moments of lucidity last night, but nobody doubts that Biden has those moments. It's all the other moments that make the voters very, very nervous about the guy. But even besides all that, because I don't think people think he's really in charge anyway. I think people think there's somebody pulling the strings. Besides all that, it's still inflation. It's still the border. It's still those crises. It's still the potential for World War III. It's all those things. That's what voters really care about. And on those marks, the voters say we want change. And that's not going to change from last night's press conference. Not at all. Nothing that was said last night in the press conference is going to move the needle in terms of that. It doesn't matter. Last night's press conference, which again, he begins by saying, I have to call on pre-selected reporters. Actually, let's start there, Steve, shall we? Why don't we begin with that? Biden says his handlers gave him a pre-selected list of people to call on. And, you know, Peter Doocy from Fox News, by the way, for the record, was not one of those people. I know that that's shocking. I know we're all shocked by that. Cut two.
With that, I'll take your questions. I've been given a list of people to call on here.
The fact that he said that also shows you that there's something missing between those two ears. There's something going drastically wrong there because you don't want to say that. You want to make it seem like it's a totally spontaneous press conference. Instead, he's got pre-selected people who they know are going to throw him softballs. Like, for example, when there were several times reporters last night stood up and said, I have two questions for you, Mr. President. And they would list the first question, then the second question. Then Biden would go on with a long, rambling answer. And they go, so what was the, and they go, oh, right. And they would just repeat the second question to him. As opposed to saying, well, doesn't the fact that you can't remember, I was waiting for this moment by some member of the proletarian guard known as the corporate media. I was waiting for one of them to just turn around and say, sir, doesn't the fact that you can't remember the second question that I asked you prove that you can't do this anymore? I've just gave you two questions. You rambled about the first one. You can't remember the second question. Isn't that exactly what we're talking about, Ben? Isn't that exactly what we're saying? And then the random screaming, the whispering last night. I don't know if I should start with the screaming or the whispering. Why don't we start with the creepy whisper? Because the creepy whisper always reminds me of a serial killer. Oh, usually the guy who's calling from inside the house. Like those old horror movies, you know. The person answers the phone and says, I'm upstairs. You know, the killer, what are you wearing? I see what you're wearing. And it's always that reminder to me of the creepy serial killer hiding upstairs in the attic or something like that, back when they had landline telephones, or maybe in the guest room down the hall. Cut 15.
You earlier explained confidence in your vice president.
Yes.
If your team came back and showed you data that she would fare better against former President Donald Trump, would you reconsider your decision to stay in the race?
No, unless they came back and said, there's no way you can win. Me. No one's saying that. No poll says that. Okay. Thanks.
This ends tonight's press conference.
Amazing. Amazing. No one's saying that. Actually, everyone is saying that. Everyone is literally saying that right now. Yeah, there's a story out. This is pretty funny. The New York Times this morning accused the right of pushing a conspiracy theory that Dems are secretly plotting to replace Biden at the top of the ticket. Meanwhile, Axios is reporting this morning how Democrats are secretly plotting to replace Biden at the top of the ticket. So the New York Times story is how Biden stumbles collided with a right-wing conspiracy theory. And the Axios story is behind the curtain, the committee to unelect the president. There's another story today about how, well, actually, they even said this last night in a CNN panel, how Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama still have all the power and they call all the shots and they are the ones who are orchestrating this entire thing. No surprise there, and no one should be surprised in the least about that fact. No one. After the press conference ended and the CNN panel were all sitting around yakking it up last night, that's what was their conclusion. You know, Pelosi, Obama, they're still in charge here, and they're still saying he's got to go, and that's not going to change. And it's not going to change because Biden's going to lose. Like I said, if he had a 10-point lead right now, we would not be having these conversations. This is a conversation we would not be having. Because the idea that they would change him out if he was winning would never occur. The panel said last night, Obama, Pelosi, they're still behemoths with the ability to persuade. Biden should have engaged people the day after the debate. And they had one of the people on there saying, I think Hakeem Jeffries is doing that. I think Chuck Schumer is doing that. I think Nancy Pelosi is doing that, too. And look, both Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi, they are stalwart leaders of the party right now. Even though they don't hold the titles anymore they once had, they are still behemoth when it comes to their ability to persuade. Right. You see, in politics, influence is everything. It's everything. Presidents don't have that much power. I mean, sure, they can call in a nuke strike. All right, I'll give you that. That's a big deal. Granted, yes, calling for strategic nuclear annihilation is a powerful move. I'll give you that. Beyond that, though, the power of the presidency largely rests with the ability to persuade and influence. Bully pulpit. That's really what it comes down to. I know that presidents can take executive action, but if they don't have the influence to back it up with the support of Congress, Congress can override it. Presidents can't just randomly enact legislation, at least they're not supposed to by the Constitution. Although we live in, up until the Chevron decision, thankfully, was overturned by the Supreme Court, the idea of executive agencies just making up legislation under the guise of rules. But for the most part, presidents have to just influence people. And power if you think about it, is the ultimate mirage. It's not real. Influence is not real either. People believe you have it, and that's why you have it. The minute that people don't believe it anymore, you no longer have it. That's just a fact of life. The minute that people no longer take you credible as a person, whatever you are, whatever walk of life you're in, the minute you lose that credibility, it's lost. It's gone. You could spend your entire life building credibility and it could be destroyed like that. And once it's gone, it's very difficult to repair. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's nearly impossible. It's virtually impossible. For presidents, their entire ability to get something done rests on the idea that people believing they are powerful. That's why being a lame duck president is so hard, because in your final really 2 years of office, when you're a lame duck and they know that you can't run again, you don't have the ability to affect them down ballot, your ability to influence goes out the window in a lot of respects. Well, in this case now, Biden is hurting people down ballot. So all these other down ballot Democrats running for Senate, running for the House are being hurt by him, which is then costing him more and more of his credibility, influence, and quote unquote power. All right, a lot more to come here on The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Follow along on X at Rich Zeoli. We'll be right back.
Our partners that help bring you free radio, the folks over at Kel-Tec, we've talked for months now about the Sub 2K Gen 3, which they're still making and shipping. The Gen 3, light, foldable, and effective. The Gen 3 version comes with some new details. You don't have to detach your favorite optics anymore to fold it right in half, and it folds quickly and easily, and just as quickly and easily deploys. As well, there's also an upgraded action. The Gen 3 version of the Sub 2K features a redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, all providing improved manipulation. And it's just the latest from the innovative Florida-based creator of pistols, rifles, shotguns, as well as accessories and gear. See everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself at KeltecWeapons.com. Everything made right here in the U.S. of A. And be sure to follow them on social media, KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the question is, did last night change people's minds? Did it change people's thoughts? Did it change people's willingness to write Biden a check? Because that's really what it comes down to. Am I right? And there's at least one donor saying, no, it did not. But here on The Dana Show, I got five things for you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The Internal Revenue Service collects a milestone $1 billion. In back taxes from high-wealth taxpayers. That's right. Story from AP News. The IRS announced Thursday it had collected $1 billion in back taxes from high-wealth tax cheats, a milestone meant to showcase how the agency is making use of the money it received as part of the Biden administration's signature climate, healthcare, and tax package signed into law in 2022. Don't forget that Biden stood up there last night and said, all these rich people need to pay their taxes, right? Bill Belichick has added a second media job for his upcoming season. The CW Network announced Thursday that Belichick will be one of the analysts on Inside the NFL. Lord Voldemort, the Dark Lord, who was the coach of the Patriots, 6 Super Bowl titles during his 24 years at the helm, will also appear on the Manning cast during ESPN's Monday Night Football. And Pat McAfee show as well. So he's going to be coming around and around. And if you hate the Patriots like I do, well, then you're going to have to see his face a lot. Nothing more I can tell you about that. I'm an Eagles fan. What can I say? Grid operator tells Californians to prepare for power conservation. She'll love this, too, when they have the ability to go in remotely and shut down your air conditioning, as they say to you. You're doing too much. You're straining the grid. So if the grid is so strained, why do we want to keep hooking up all these electric vehicles to it? I'm asking for a friend. It just seems to me like that's a bad move. If the grid is so overstrained right now and we keep plugging in cars to it, sounds to me like a bad combination, no? Maybe it's just me. Who knows? Elon Musk, speaking of electric vehicles, his Neuralink prepares for the second human trial, and it aims for superpower capabilities. Sign me up. It's an implant, second human patient of the week. And it's according to the company's founder, Elon Musk. Musk shared that the company aims to have high single digits of patients with the device by the end of the year. He had several Neuralink executives discuss the brain chip's capabilities and future potential, such as treating paralysis and memory loss. Why don't they give it to Biden? is my question. Seems to me like that's the easiest answer right there. Give it to him. See if it works for him. Maybe he'll... And they say now this could give you, as a human, possibly now digital intelligence. Wow. The goal is to give people superpowers. I would go for it. Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Which brings me to my next article. Half of U.S. cancer deaths are avoidable, says an alarming U.S. study. That's right. You can avoid cancer. I don't know if I'd want to go with a brain chip considering this study, but 4 in 10 cancer cases and half of all adult cancer deaths in the United States could be avoided, according to new research. Researchers say their findings demonstrate an urgent need for more effective interventions and access to preventative health care. Roughly 1.8 million new cancer cases are diagnosed in the U.S. every year, with roughly 600,000 deaths. But a lot of this stuff can be reduced. I got to wonder, too, when I think about things like how much food we eat, the kind of foods we eat, the correlation between big food, big pharma, all these other people. I don't know. It just seems to me as if a lot of the crap we put in our bodies is not good. But then again, they want to treat it all with a pill or a shot. And then, you know, you get stories like this. We shall see. All right, coming up, more calls for Joe Biden to step out of the race. That's right. Even after the presser last night, more Democrats are coming out and saying Joe's got to go. Here on The Dana Show, the question is also, when will Donald Trump announce his VP and who will it be? Will it be before he heads to Milwaukee? Don't go away.
We're going to need ReadyWise after this. Because you know what? Everybody's head's going to explode simultaneously just trying to understand the spin from the questions in these debates. ReadyWise wants to make sure that you're prepared. So when everything goes to hell in a handbasket, you don't have to worry about what to feed your family. You don't have to fight people zombie apocalypse style, going into crowded stores with strip shelves, having to depend upon unreliable local services. You will have already access to top quality food when you need it because you ordered from ReadyWise.com. You prepared. You were smart. Use promo code Dana20 to get 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. And all of their food comes from the U.S. of A. This is high-quality U.S. ingredients packed in a state-of-the-art U.S. facility, freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. Folks, the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president.
First of all, Trump would never be your vice president. That's number one. Welcome back to the Dana Show. Glad you're here today. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. I appreciate you being here. And Dana will be back next week for all the convention coverage for you, and you won't miss a thing. I tell you, last night, nothing changed because the poll numbers don't change, and that's the bottom line. Poll numbers don't change, and they're not going to. He's losing, and he's going to lose, and that's why this effort to remove him is still going to play out. But I think the best way to ward this off, honestly, is not to rely on lawyers, not to rely on challenges to ballot access or anything else. It is to tell the American people it's coming. Look, if it doesn't come, then great. You haven't lost anything, but tell them it's coming. Stop the swap. And if they try to swap Biden out, then the American people won't stand for it. I would not. There are a lot of people right now engaging in this whole idea of like, well, he's not going anywhere. I hear Republicans saying this all the time. It's like they're doubling down on the fact that Biden is not going anywhere. And I keep saying, first of all, you don't know that, number one. And they go, well, you know, you can't, the ballot deadline in this state or that state, and they come up with all these. You really think the courts care about ballot deadlines? Do you honestly believe that that's going to work? Did you not pay attention in 2020 to what happened in states like Pennsylvania, where the court just did whatever the hell it wanted to do when it came to mail-in ballots? Did you forget what I said about 2002 when they changed the Democrat U.S. Senate candidate in New Jersey long after the ballot deadlines had passed and overseas ballots had been literally mailed out? Democrats don't follow the rules. They don't care about state statutes. They don't care about things like the state law. And federal judges who are appointed by Democrats don't either. And if you think the Supreme Court's going to swoop in and save you, I'm sorry, but I don't see it. They don't like to get involved in these things either. So the only way is to tell the American people it's coming. Let them think it's coming. And if it doesn't come, great. Trump beats Biden and everybody wins. But if it does come, if I'm right, then the American people can say, yeah, we knew you were going to do this and we're not falling for it. You're only doing it because Biden's going to lose. Because however they do it, it's going to be in some way that maintains Biden's quote unquote dignity, although I don't think the man has any dignity left, but and has to be done on his terms and has to be done. But at the same time, also has to give him a way to get out with a reasonable explanation so that Democrat delegates don't lose their minds and feel like they were duped, which they're going to be duped. They gotta do all these machinations. And I've also told you Biden can't go anywhere until he's first nominated on that virtual DNC call, and then they can replace him. He has to be the nominee first to be replaced. I know that that sounds redundant or counterintuitive, but it's true. Joe Biden has to be nominated first in order to be replaced as the nominee. And that's not for a while. That's a couple weeks away until that happens, or a week away, whenever that virtual Democrat DNC call is. And then after that, things can happen. Then Joe Biden can drop out. The successor can be chosen. He can transfer the war chest over and all the chips fall. And at that point, because the DNC convention is not till the end of August, they change the nominee at that point. There's no state that's going to be allowed to deny that person ballot access. I'm telling you right now, not one. I have people tweeting me every day showing me this state's deadline is this. This state certifies ballots in this county by the. It doesn't matter. Throw that all away. Stop it. Stop it. There's not a single state that's going to be allowed to keep the Democrat nominee for president off the ballot if that person is properly selected at the August convention, which according to the DNC bylaws, they would be. So the only chance we have is to let the American people know, hey, this is coming. And they're only doing this because Joe Biden's going to lose. And they're doing this because they're trying to save their chances in November. Do not stand for it. Do not allow it to happen. If you accept that, stop the swap mentality and start preparing people for it. Worst case scenario, it doesn't happen. Okay, then nobody's lost anything. You've lost some time. I'll give you that. But if I'm right and we're not ready for it because we think that judges and lawyers are going to save us, that state statutes are going to save us, that Joe Biden's arrogance on that stage is going to save us, and then they do the inevitable and swap him out, and at that point, then they're able to frame it in a sympathetic way to the American people where they think, oh, well, it's a shame, but he's doing the right thing for his country. He's a hero, blah, blah, blah. And then whoever gets in there has some momentum because of it, and it makes Trump's chances harder in November. We're going to turn around and go, why didn't we see this coming? And the answer is we should have, but everybody thinks they know everything. Don't underestimate what these people are capable of doing. Please, I beg of you, don't underestimate what they are capable of doing, and they will do whatever they have to do to remain in power. These are power-hungry people, but it's even beyond just them. And I'm not even talking about the Democrat-elected congresspeople and senators, and I'm talking about the people behind the scenes, the rich lobbyists, the rich lawyers, the rich CEOs and people on the board of all the defense contractors and all those people. Those are the people I'm talking about. They are not going to allow the Ukraine cash cow to dry up. No way. Not without a fight. Not without a fight. You're talking about billions and billions of dollars in a blank check written to President Putin, over and over again, as much as President Putin wants. And where does that money flow? It flows to our defense industrial complex. They're not going to just let that go because they know Trump will shut it down. They know that. Of course, you remember President Biden yesterday as he introduced the president of Ukraine, cut number one.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway.
I mean, if there's nothing reassures the American people like you coming out and calling Zelensky Putin, am I right? I mean, nothing says, woo, I feel better than that when you come out and you say, hey, it's President Putin. I mean, Zelensky, I mean, what am I? Where am I? So there, it's that, you know, it's that whole situation. Fox News is reporting right now that donors are freezing $90 million in pledges to Biden. $90 million. Ouch. That's a lot of cashish. Am I right? It's a lot of cashish. That's the other problem, too, is that Biden is going to have a real problem raising money. And they need that money. They got to transfer that money over to whoever the Democrat nominee is. Biden last night falsely claimed that at least five presidents had lower numbers than he does. That's not true. It's another Bidenism, as they say. This is July, and Biden's got these low numbers. And what's going to change by November? Nothing. He's not going to get better by November. And also, the economy's not going to get better by November. Even if the Fed comes in and does a rate cut, which they're expected to do, I think after this week, you're going to see a rate cut. It's still not going to impact prices that much where people are going to turn around and go, whoa, this is awesome. This is great. I feel so good right now. This is Biden, cut number four. Cut four, Steve.
And I might add, there are at least five presidents running or incumbent presidents who had lower numbers than I have now, later in the campaign.
Wrong. Okay. And just because you say it doesn't make it true. Oh, Dana White's going to be speaking at the RNC. That's going to be fun. That'll be great. He always brings the thunder. That's right. He does. He brings the thunder. Biden freaked out at a reporter for asking him about Zelensky as President Putin. He was not happy that somebody asked him that question. But of course, it is the most obvious question to ask him of all the questions to ask him, besides the fact that he called his own vice president Trump. Cut number five.
I wanted to ask you about your you mixed up presidents Zelensky and Putin earlier today. And you now have sort of your key allies, including the British Prime Minister, the President of France, and the German Chancellor having to step in and make excuses for you on that. Officials here are saying off the record that your decline has become noticeable. Hasn't this now, frankly, become damaging for America's standing in the world? Thank you.
Did you see any damage to our standing in my leading this conference? Have you seen a more successful conference? What do you think? And the Putin piece, I was talking about Putin, and I said, and now, at the very end, I said, here, I mean, Putin, I said, no, I'm sorry, Zelensky. And then I added five other names. Look, guys, the idea, anybody suggests that we haven't had an incredibly successful conference. How many times did you hear in that conference, I know it sounds too self-serving, but other leaders, heads of state, in thanking me, saying the reason we're together is because of Biden.
Yeah, right. NATO's together because of Biden. You know what else I found fascinating about yesterday's press conference was the fact that Joe Biden was complaining about his schedule, right? He's complaining about his schedule and how he has to stop doing events after 8 p.m. because he's too tired. At the press conference that's designed to tell everybody and show everybody that he can do the job. But he's complaining about his schedule. Look, that's the thing, is that everybody complains about their schedule sometimes, but you're the president of the United States of America. There are things that happen even when you're tired. There are things that happen in the middle of the night when people are asleep. And you can't just turn around and go, don't bother me, I'm tired, I'm sleeping over here, I'm resting, I'm napping, I'm watching my shows. I'm watching my shows. Here's Biden laughing in a reporter's face, cut number six.
How can you say you'll be up for that next year, in 2 years, in 4 years, given the limits you've acknowledged that you have today?
The limits I've acknowledged I have?
There's been reporting that you've acknowledged that you need to go to bed earlier and your evening around 8.
That's not true. Look, what I said was, instead of my every day starting at 7 and going to bed at midnight, it'd be smarter for me to pace myself a little more.
Pace myself. It'd be smarter for me to pace myself. Well, that's very reassuring to everybody. You got to pace yourself even more. You're the president. Sometimes things happen at midnight. Or, as Hillary Clinton reminded us in 2008 with that infamous ad, sometimes there's a phone call at 3 a.m. in the White House. There's a phone ringing in the White House. It's 3 a.m. And then Biden randomly started screaming. So in the last segment, I played you the whisper, the creepy whisper. Then he starts screaming. Now, he does the whisper screaming combo a lot of times. He whispers and he screams. He screams and he whispers. It's kind of both. And I don't know which one's creepier. I don't know which one's scarier. I really don't. Because the creepy whisper sounds like a serial killer. And then the screaming just sounds like a freaking lunatic. But serial killers also scream. So it kind of sounds like both. But here he is, cut 13.
We're sitting around. That's where Kamala's so good as well. We're sitting around. More children are killed by a bullet than any other cause of death. The United States of America. What the hell are we doing? What are we doing?
Trump is expected to announce his VP pick. According to the Wall Street Journal, it's down to three names. Who are those names? I will tell you upon my return. It's me, Rich, in for Dana. We'll be right back.
According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat. I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this is some breaking news here that just happened a short time ago. It was reported that a bunch of money's been frozen. I kind of alluded to this before, but I watched the clip. So Democrat donors have froze $90 million in pledges to Biden. This comes after the big presser last night. $90 million in pledges to Joe Biden have all been frozen. That's not good. I don't think it's good. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It just seems to me that $90 million is a lot of money. It's a ton of cash. And if that's happening after, you know what I mean? Like after the big presser last night, it's supposed to make everybody feel good about things. That's probably not a good sign that the press conference last night was a huge success. Again, I'm just throwing this out there. That may not be a great sign. So, yeah. Oh, man, I'll tell you, it's something that makes me think that I will be proven right with my prediction, which doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me happy. It really doesn't. I don't want to be right. I don't want to be right. What I want is for Joe Biden to continue as the nominee. I want Joe Biden to be the Democrat nominee for president, because I want it to be clear. Trump beats him like a drum. I just don't know. I just don't know if somebody else. I don't know what I don't know. You know what I mean? I think Trump beats Kamala Harris too. I also think that if they make a change, I'm not so sure it's going to be her. You know what I mean? She loses just as bad as he does. But they'd have to find an exit ramp for her. They'd have to find an exit ramp for Kamala Harris. So according to the Wall Street Journal, Trump's picks for VP have come down to three people: Doug Burgum, Marco Rubio, and J.D. Vance. Now, this could all be a gigantic distraction and could be one of those things where it's not true and it's just meant to, well, distract you. But assuming that's right, assuming it's one of those three, Burgum, Rubio, or J.D. Vance, I'd say the money would go on J.D. Vance. Because again, the problem with Rubio is you get into the Florida issue with the Electoral College. You can't have two candidates from the same state because of the Electoral College. You wind up losing electors, essentially. So one of them would have to move. Trump's not moving. So Rubio would have to resign his Senate seat and move. I don't know if he'd want to do that. I don't know if they'd want to just go through all the hassle of that. I don't know what Burgum brings to the table, really. I'm just not sure. It's North Dakota. You're going to win North Dakota anyway. But J.D. Vance, young guy, he's got Ohio, which is a must-win. He wrote the book, Hillbilly Elegy, so he understands the Rust Belt. I'd say the money's probably on him if it really comes down to those three people. But we'll see. I'm not so sure it's any of those three. I guess nobody but Trump really knows. And we all know that Trump is capable of changing his mind because Trump can certainly do that. He's done it before. So we shall see. All right. This is the Dana Show. We'll continue with hour number two. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Coming up, why are Democrat donors suspending their pledge money to Joe Biden if he had such a great night? Don't go away.
Hi, I'm George, an economics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
The Declaration of Independence is more than a bold letter to a British king written by upstart colonists, although it very much is that. The Declaration explains the promise of America, that all men and women are born equal in their possession of natural rights, and that the proper exercise of these rights can lead to a full and deeply satisfying life. Just as the Declaration explains America's promise, the Constitution upholds that promise. Its purpose is to protect the rights of all of us, our natural rights. This establishes the possibility, not the guarantee, that we can have a good life. This is true freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
Well, Biden is trying to resist the growing pressure to bow out as Kamala Harris starts speaking right now in Greensboro, or I should say that's an old clip, as Kamala Harris is being looked at right now as a potential successor. Joe Biden's about to do a big rally in Michigan, I believe, to try to quell the fears there. But Kamala Harris is still a problem for them because how do they get rid of her? Welcome back to the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Hour number two on a Friday. Happy Friday. Glad you're with us today. I was thinking there in the break, and I had my headphones out because I was watching this clip of these donors who are all going on and saying to themselves, we're not giving any more money. We're not giving on any more money. And James Carville, even after the press conference last night, calling on Biden to exit the race. So he's not feeling better about things. He's not feeling any better. But again, this is the Obama people calling the shots here. You know what I mean? They're calling the shots. Let's think about it. Now, there was a piece that was written in the Wall Street Journal. Kamala Harris would be the best Democratic choice. She'd rally black voters who are souring on Democrats, and she's close to Trump in the polls. Jason Riley wrote this piece. Now, I love Jason Riley. I think he's brilliant. He's a brilliant guy. He's got a lot of great opinions and thoughts on things. I just don't know for sure if he's correct on this point. But nevertheless, let's entertain this for a moment, shall we? Let's entertain the idea that Jason Riley is correct, and I'll give you his thoughts on this. So this is what Jason Riley is saying right now. He's saying that Democrats can't course correct so long as Biden continues to insist that nothing's wrong, or at least nothing that can't be addressed by getting more sleep and not scheduling events after 8 p.m. Last month's disturbing debate performance was a one-off, he says. But it's been reported the president uses a teleprompter even in private homes when asking wealthy donors for money. Oof, imagine that. Imagine that the president's coming to your house for a fundraiser. You have to roll out the teleprompter. You got to roll out the teleprompter for the guy. Well, I mean, I'm sure the White House does it for you, but still, isn't that awkward? You know, you put it next to the cake and the cookies and the coffee, and then there's a giant teleprompter right there. I assume if you're really rich and you're hosting a fundraiser for the president of the United States of America, you've got room for a teleprompter in your living room. But otherwise, I would think to myself, that's not really, I don't have the space. We got the bar, we got the coffee sector, we got snacks. I don't know if I have room for a teleprompter. According to the New York Times, a Parkinson's specialist visited the White House 8 times in 8 months. The commander-in-chief won't take a cognitive test, and he hasn't held a solo press conference since November. And then it goes on to say that he's trailing. And then he goes on to say that Mr. Trump currently beats Harris head-to-head, but by less than he beats Mr. Biden, and there's no reason to believe her popularity has reached a ceiling. A CNN poll taken after the debate had Mr. Trump ahead of Biden by 6 points, while leading Harris by only 2 points, which is within the margin of error. I personally believe she's an even worse candidate, but let's continue here. The bigger risk for the party, he writes, might be sticking with Biden despite the polls or trying to replace him with someone other than Harris. Well, at that point, I do agree with him. They have a major problem with trying to replace him with someone other than Kamala Harris because the delegates, they may not like this. Donna Brazile, a veteran political strategist and former head of the Democratic National Committee, says half the delegates are women and around a quarter are black, a group that has lost some enthusiasm for Democrats. So she talked to Jason Riley and said the following: if this was an open convention, which we're all trying not to put into motion, then you're asking black delegates and female delegates to turn their heads. You're disenfranchising them, she said. Now, she doesn't believe that Mr. Biden is irretrievably damaged, but she does allow that swapping in Harris could have an upside. I think it would help bring home some black voters who are looking for a reason to stand in long lines for the Democrats on Election Day. I don't know if I agree with that analysis for a couple reasons, but let's go through it real quick. Number one. So when you think about the coalescing around black support that Trump has been doing lately, one of the issues that keeps coming up is the border. They don't like the open borders. They don't like the fact that their cities have been flooded with illegal immigrants. They don't like it. I mean, there was this guy in the Breakfast Club the other day with Charlemagne the God. He was going on and on about how black voters, Democrats are losing black voters and they want to replace them with brown voters, illegal immigrants, basically. People see what's happening to New York. They see what's happening to Chicago. They don't want it happening in their cities. These cities are also besieged by crime. But let's focus on the illegal immigration problem for a moment. Let's think about the border. Who's been the border czar? Kamala Harris. So Trump's going to make her own that if she's the nominee. Excuse me. If she's a nominee, Trump is going to say, this is your issue. You own this. And he's going to assign blame to Kamala Harris for that. I don't think she can get away with that. And there's a reason why the Biden campaign made her the border czar and then never, ever let her do anything regarding the border. And that's because they wanted her to fail. They hate her. They've hated Kamala Harris ever since she took down Joe Biden on that debate stage for being a racist, for being against busing and for hanging out with the Seggies and everybody else. And they needed her to win and to get James Clyburn's support. But that doesn't mean they like her. There's a long history in this country of presidents and vice presidents not liking each other. I mean, the entire show Veep was all based around the fact that the president never even engaged the vice president because she was a lunatic. Very funny show, by the way. So Kamala Harris, the other problem too is that Kamala Harris also says things that are just wacky. And I don't mean being unburdened by our burdens. I mean, she just says things that, well, like this, for example. Here's a good clip of Kamala Harris talking about her mother, who used to give her a hard time sometimes. Cut 21.
Everything is in context. My mother she would give us a hard time sometimes, and she would say to us, I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
What? What does that even mean? I mean, you need a team of international translators to figure that out. There's no Rosetta Stone for that. I have no idea what she's even talking about, but that's the problem. And that laugh, that Joker laugh. Now, I know that Joy Behar thinks I'm sexist if I don't find her funny and her laugh. If I find it annoying, I'm just sexist and I'm threatened by funny women or something. I'm not quite sure, but I think Kamala Harris is laughing at me in bed, I believe is what Joy Behar was trying to say. No, it's just an annoying laugh. And I don't think the American people want to hear that. So I'm not so sure I agree with Jason O'Reilly, but it does shine a spotlight on the problem that Biden has with black voters. And that comes a lot from illegal immigration, but it also comes from crime too. You know, many of these individuals are living in cities that are run by these woke George Soros funded prosecutors. Like, take my city of Philadelphia, for example. You got this guy, Larry Krasner, in there. He's a Marxist lunatic. And this is a guy who believes criminals are the victims. Yeah, they're the victims of society's largesse. They're the victims of capitalism and corporate greed and blah, blah, blah. And so crime in Philadelphia is off the charts, and it's in the neighborhoods that are black neighborhoods. And I've talked to cops about this before in Philly, and they say the same thing all the time. You know, people used to call the cops and say that there was somebody on the corner they didn't know, and they had great relationships with the communities, but there, people are afraid to do that now because the cops will go pick that person up and he'll be back on the streets the next day, even if he's got an illegal gun on him, even if he's dealing drugs, whatever. It's just he's going to be back on the streets. Guys like Krasner, Alvin Bragg in New York City, the prosecutor in Chicago, they're not prosecuting criminals. So the cops are arresting them, but then they're not getting prosecuted. They're going back on the streets. So you have that other problem, too. Then there's the other problem about the economy. I mean, whether you're black or white, you still have to feed your family. And you have to pay for groceries. I don't know, but the idea that black voters are going to just suddenly turn around and say, well, Kamala Harris is not African-American, but she's black, so I'm going to vote for her because I'd rather deal with more high grocery prices for the next 4 years. I'd rather deal with this inflation because it's historic. I don't know. I don't think people think that way. I really don't. Not in this day and age anyway. I think people think about their own best interests. I think they always have. I think it's the economy, stupid. Now, does she have a better chance than Biden? Probably in the sense that she's not Biden. I guess that's Jason Riley's point. And Biden is hemorrhaging black voters, so maybe that could turn the tide. I don't know. But I think the conventional wisdom is they have to probably replace both of them. They just don't know how to do that. They just don't really have a plan to do that. Jen Psaki was on with Stephen Colbert because nothing says late night comedy like Jen Psaki, am I right? And she made the point that there's a lot of questions around the plan moving forward. And nobody knows the answer to that question, but she made it clear there's a lot of people whispering in the halls of Washington. There's a lot of people who are not whispering in the halls of Washington right now. There's just a lot of people who are openly saying we have to change directions here. We just don't know where to go. Cut 19.
It's so interesting. It's an interesting question because it's like, what does it mean to be ready for it, right? I mean, they have to be. They don't really have another choice. I think that the question is, what is the plan moving forward? And I think 99% of them don't know the answer to that question, right? For all intents and purposes, if you're on the campaign in the White House, Joe Biden has said he's running. He's going to stick it out as a nominee. That is what you were planning to do. Is that what the result ends up being? I don't think we know the answer to that yet.
I don't think we know the answer to that, she says. I don't think we know the answer to that. Well, she's not wrong. We don't know the answer to that. But it's very obvious, though, there's people who are talking about what do they do? How do they deal with this situation? And that's not going away anytime soon. And then if you believe the CNN report that I mentioned earlier in the show, that Pelosi and Obama, they've had multiple private discussions on how to find a way out of this, then they're still calling the shots. They're the ones in charge. Does Barack Obama want Kamala Harris to be the party's nominee? And I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, he's black, she's black. I don't think it's that. I think the question is, if they're going to make a change, but then if it's not Kamala Harris, who is it? They don't exactly have a lot of options here, these people. I'll play you that clip before the hour ends. We have a lot to get to here on The Dana Show. There's breaking news all over the place. Trump is expected to announce his VP pick at the convention. Will it be one of those three names I mentioned? Burgum, Vance, or Rubio? We shall find out. Don't go away.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So Will Trump announce his VP pick at the last possible moment? Because, you know, he's a showman. He loves drama. He loves to keep everybody on edge and waiting. Well, for that, let's do this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
First of all, when it comes to the cashish, they're raking it in. The Milwaukee 2024 host committee smashing records with an $85 million haul. I'll be out of Milwaukee next week. I'm doing my Philadelphia radio show live, 3 to 7 p.m. from the RNC. I'm excited for that. And the Milwaukee 2024 host committee, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization tasked with welcoming the convention, has raised over $85 million. And they got to cover the cost of the transportation, the welcome party, the closing party, and other large contract expenses. For the record, I have not been invited to any of these things, which doesn't make me happy. New RNC amendment could lead Trump to announce his VP at the last possible moment. A proposed amendment to the Republican National Convention rules, which they'll adopt on Monday, could allow presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump to wait until the last possible minute before announcing his VP. The amended rulebook, viewed by the Post, details the former rule requiring a set number of delegates to declare their support of the presumptive nominee and the VP, quote, not later than an hour prior to placing the names up for nomination. The new rule allows the delegates to submit the names prior, meaning Trump could leave Republicans in suspense until the final moment. And if that's what Trump wants, that's what Trump will get, because it's obviously his party, his show. Trump advisor Chris LaCivita told the Post that it's wrong that the VP pick could be announced later, but didn't elaborate why. We'll see. He said probably a little before the convention, but not much is what he said. There's still some speculation he could announce it tomorrow night in Butler, PA, where he's doing a big rally. And it's very close to the Ohio border. So if it's J.D. Vance, that makes sense, because although anybody can travel these days, it's not like you need a stagecoach to come from the Ohio border. A Nevada county is refusing to certify the results of two local recounts from last month's primary elections. Three Republican members of the five-member Washoe County Board of Commissioners voted to reject recount results for a commission seat and a local school board seat. The commission's two Democratic members voted against rejecting the recount results. After more than 3 days of counting, the election showed a change of just one vote lost for GOP County Commission candidate Mark Lawson and one vote gained by school board candidate Paul White. However, both candidates still lost their races by wide margins. And it looks like now the counts are over. But I did tell you, I have to tell you, though, one of the recounts cost $150,000 to fund the recounts. That's a lot of money right there. That's a lot of cash. I'm just saying, you know, don't think there's any things with election impropriety when it comes down to all these needs for recounts and drop boxes and everything else. Everything's going to be fine, just fine. With that reminder, make sure you get your mail-in ballot in. The House has passed a bill to protect Title IX. That's right, to overturn Biden's allowing bio dudes to be in girls' locker rooms and girls' spaces and play on girls' teams. The House voted to do it. Of course, Democrats did not support it. Shocking, I know, but Democrats don't know what a woman is, so why would you expect them to possibly support this? And Democrats cancel a Biden Chicago fundraiser amid slipping support. That was just announced a short time ago as well. That's not going to happen. And that was supposed to be during the Democrat National Convention in August. Not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. Organizers decided not to proceed with the event because of low interest. You know, when you can't raise the money, can't raise the money. It's the Dana Show. It's me, Rich, in for Dana. We got a lot more to come. We're just getting warmed up here on a Friday. Don't go away.
As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at Black Rifle Coffee. It's the best coffee in America. If you haven't tried it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. It's a perfect time to do it. They are one of the most popular coffee companies in America, which makes all the Marxist coffee companies super angry because it's veteran-owned and veteran-run, and everything down from the roast to the bag art that they do, everything pays homage to American culture and military history. It's owned and run by veterans. They hire veterans in active duty. They support law enforcement. Every single bag that they make is roasted right here in the U.S. of A. They don't white label it like some of these other posers do. They actually roast the beans themselves. They have a variety of choices too for your consumption. Ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. You also can find the apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything. And join the coffee club because you get your favorite brew or brews. You can choose how often you want it delivered, and you get free shipping, and it shows up magically. The Coffee Fairy drops it off on your doorstep. It's awesome. Try it for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com and get 20% off with code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a crazy day on a Friday. Remember when Fridays in the summer used to be slow? You used to talk about what movies you're going to go see or something like that. Well, welcome back to the Dana Show. It's great to be with you today. It's Rich Zeoli from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD in Philadelphia, where I do the afternoon drive show, 3 to 7 p.m. My wife is actually taking my kids right now to see Despicable Me Part 45. I think there's that many chapters anyway. I heard it's good. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I would. I'm a big movie guy. I love going, but I'm on the air, so I can't. I did watch the new Beverly Hills Cop movie, though. You know, Eddie Murphy, I guess, needed a paycheck, so they. But it's kind of. I mean, it's fun. It's silly, but it's not nearly as funny as the original or Beverly Hills Cop 2. But it's good. It's kind of a. It's all nostalgia, right? It's all nostalgia and just making you feel like, you know, when you were young again. So Eddie Murphy and Judge Reinhold and then the guy who plays Sergeant Taggart, he's in there. And then Kevin Bacon, because he's got to be in every movie, obviously, ever made. So he's in that as well. But it's good. It's all right. It's fun. It's like a good, you know, if you got downtime and you got nothing to do and you're looking for something fun and you want a little throwback. I love the original Beverly Hills Cop movies. They were really funny. And I'm watching the show on Apple TV, Presumed Innocent with Jake Gyllenhaal. Remember the original movie with Harrison Ford? That was great. That was really good. And there's a Philadelphia connection with that, with 30th Street Station. But anyway, the show is excellent so far. It's excellent. Very well done. I don't know who did it, but obviously it's about a guy who's having an affair. And I'm not going to tell you, you know, she dies and he gets charged with the murder. And you know it's going to be somebody else because presumed innocent, but or at least you think it's going to be somebody else. Who knows? But anyway, it's good. It's based on the book. It's pretty good too. And I was just finishing Jack Carr's book. I know Jack's been on with Dana, and Jack Carr's a great guy. I had Jack in Philly actually for an event. He's the best. He really is. He's just a fantastic guy. His books are outstanding. So I try to read. I'm trying to read more. I'm trying to do a little bit better about reading. But Red Sky Morning is fantastic. And Jack is a hell of a guy, is he not? Hell of a guy. There's a great story in Philadelphia. And it's a story about a D-Day veteran. They're actually renaming a street after him. He's black, and he never got the recognition he deserved. And my friend sent me this story about him today in the Philadelphia Inquirer. The guy who wrote the piece is a general. And I know his sister quite well. It's one of those things where I've never actually met the general, but I've met the general's wife, and she's a wonderful person too. But Major General Timothy Brennan, the First Army's Deputy Commanding General for Support. And he wrote this piece. It's about this man who was a true hero on D-Day, Waverly B. Woodson Jr. He treated 200 casualties on Omaha Beach, but he never got the recognition and the honor that he was due. And today in Philly, they're actually renaming a street in his old neighborhood after him for what he did. And I won't share the whole piece with you, but it just says that on the morning of August 24th, 1944, the Inquirer ran an article about a hometown hero. The dateline was vague, somewhere in France, but the story was detailed. Army medic Waverly B. Woodson Jr., a 20-year-old Philadelphia native and Lincoln University pre-med student, had landed in D-Day's first wave. Severely wounded by German shelling, he helped bandage and administer plasma and sulfa throughout the day and night. Helped evacuate the wounded when the tide came in and continued first aid operations until 4:30 the second afternoon. Even though he'd been shot in the groin, he did all this. The Army would credit him with treating 200 casualties on the deadliest stretch of the invasion beach before nearly collapsing from fatigue and blood loss. He was considered to be one of the first heroes of the invasion and one of the few black soldiers in D-Day's first wave. But then his heroism was largely forgotten. So the general writes this piece and he says, "This struck me personally because I too am a Philadelphia native and I am currently in the First Army, the historic Army unit that led all ground and airborne forces on D-Day. On June 6, 1944, then Corporal Woodson's shoulder bore the same Block A patch I wear in my uniform today," the general writes. For years, First Army has advocated for proper recognition of Woodson's remarkable acts. It was announced last month, just a few days before the 80th anniversary of D-Day, that he would be posthumously upgraded to the Distinguished Service Cross. That's the military's second highest medal for bravery. Some of the troops who were in France for commemoration events took the medal that will be presented to his wife, Joanne, to Omaha Beach and laid it on the sands where Woodson saved so many lives. The Valor upgrade will come in Washington later this summer. The street renaming in Philly occurs today. And he said, I've thought a lot about what I want to say to my fellow citizens of Philadelphia as we honor Woodson. I want to acknowledge that it is long overdue for the Army to award his gallantry. In 1944, that didn't happen due to a perfect storm of realities, an army segregated by race and driven by racism, the fog of war, lost records, and infighting among its leadership. But I also want to point out that every time I tell or we tell Woodson's story, every time we honor his service and sacrifice, we do our part to correct the injustices he endured on behalf of our great but sometimes imperfect nation, he writes. And he says, those of us who have had the responsibility of leading America's sons and daughters in combat know one thing. We who wear the cloth of this nation are just ordinary citizens who love our country and love it enough to do extraordinary things when the country calls. Woodson was an ordinary young man from an ordinary Philadelphia street who became extraordinary on a bitter, windswept morning that changed the course of human history. And he was obviously inspired by the fact that he came from Philadelphia. And the general concludes, he says, in the Army, we often say we stand on the shoulders of giants. Woodson is one of our giants. He died in 2005 and was a first Army soldier 8 decades ago. But we still consider him and his family, many of whom still call Philadelphia home, our responsibility. It is our duty to ensure he is remembered. Our thanks to the city and the people of Philadelphia for helping the First Army do just that. And even more for raising the ordinary, extraordinary citizens who have fought for this nation from our earliest days and who fight for us still. Major General Timothy Brennan, the First Army's Deputy Commanding General, for support. Well, that was great that they're doing that. It's excellent. D-Day is, I think it's probably the most consequential day in the war, certainly in the Western front of the war, certainly in the European theater, no doubt about it, D-Day is. And I thought the 80th anniversary celebrations were tainted this year, quite frankly, by the commander-in-chief spewing his nonsense about Ukraine. And I just kept thinking, you know, for one day, can we just make it about the people that stormed the beaches on D-Day? Can we just make it about them and not have to tie it into Ukraine funding and Putin and everything else? You know what I mean? But whether it was Obama, I mean, a Biden, or it was Blinken did it, and other speakers did it too. You know, I just thought it was cheap. I really did. It frustrated me. I remember when I was with Jack Carr for the event for Red Sky Morning that we did in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And Jack was there. He took his kids to D-Day. He took his kids to Normandy. Not to D-Day, but he took his kids to Normandy for the D-Day anniversary celebrations and the remembrances. And I remember him saying the same thing that night we were on stage together. He said, I just thought for one day, you know, for one day, can we just not bring politics into this? For one day, can we just honor the sacrifice of these people, the heroism of these people, the triumph of that was the day that the war, the tide of the war would turn, and America would eventually defeat the greatest evil of the previous century, you know, the Nazis. And can we just deal with that instead of having to make it about political agendas? But nope, we can't. We can't help ourselves. Biden can't help himself, certainly. And I thought yesterday during NATO, it was frustrating, again, how they kept tying Ukraine into NATO when Ukraine is not a NATO member. And the whole point, the entire time they're doing this, all right, and they're talking about how we have to keep paying the bill for Ukraine, and America has to keep paying the freight of Europe, even though this is a European conflict, and these other NATO countries are not stepping up and paying their fair share. And he falsely accuses Trump of wanting to end NATO, which is a lie, just an absolute lie. Trump wants the NATO members to pay, which I think is reasonable. I mean, these countries have money. France has money. Germany has money. It's like France. France barely pays anything to be part of NATO. If France is acutely aware of what it's like to be taken over by another country. The Nazis were literally marching down the streets of the Champs-Élysées, you know? They understand this. There were Nazi banners flying over the museum, whatever it is, the Louvre, right? And yet they're not even paying their fair share of NATO. And they're barely paying anything towards this war effort. They're not worried about it. They're still buying Putin's natural gas and Putin's oil. In fact, France is buying more of Putin's natural gas now than they were before he invaded Ukraine. So on the one hand, it's if we don't have NATO, Putin's going to storm through NATO. And but at the same time, if he does storm through NATO, we've got NATO. That's what NATO's there for. NATO's there for the fact that if Putin conquers Ukraine, because this is their thinking, he conquers Ukraine, then he goes through Poland. And then he just traces Hitler's steps all the way up. And the entire time Biden's saying this, I kept thinking, but then if he does, that triggers NATO. Poland's a NATO member. And if all these countries are so worried about him doing that, why don't they just cough up their fair share? It's not that much to ask. It really isn't. But the United States of America, again, has to be the world's policeman when it comes to this stuff. And the conflicts in Europe, and I'm telling you, the nations in Europe, they don't believe the idea. They don't believe the idea that Putin's going to keep going for them. If they did, they'd be writing big checks right now. I'll tell you, you know, one country that's a total NATO scofflaw is Canada. That little Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, that man-child, who some say has a love of Cuban food. I'm just simply pointing that out to you. I'm just making the point. He's a big fan of Cuban food, Cuban coffee. That's what I've heard that anyway. I don't know. The Trudeau government free rides on everyone else's defense dollars, even as threats in the Arctic grow. Canada's a member of the G7 group. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau isn't leading anything. He won't even commit his country to meet its minimum obligations as a member of NATO. This is exactly what I'm talking about. He'll stand up there and he'll scream about Putin and he'll scream about, and look, it's not like I want Putin to win. I don't. I just want Europe to deal with this since this is a European matter, or at least Europe to deal with it as much as the United States is dealing with it. And if the United States is going to keep dealing with it, then I want the Congress to do what the Article 1 of the Constitution requires them to do, which is to vote to authorize the United States of America to be involved in this. And that has not happened. That has not happened. This is just Biden once again doing whatever he wants, sending F-16s and tanks. And there was a time we were told tanks meant World War III. Remember that? I remember that. Now we're sending him F-16s. The 23 members of the North Atlantic Alliance are on track to meet or exceed the 2% of GDP of each country committed that they committed a decade ago to spend on defense. Trump made them commit to that. Canada isn't even close. This year, Ottawa is forecast to hit 1.37% of GDP, which is up from 1% that it was coughing up in 2014. Canada appears to think the world hasn't changed since Russia invaded Ukraine. China became aggressive in the Pacific, and both powers began cooperating to dominate the Arctic. Of the eight nations below the 2% target, Croatia, Portugal, and Italy spend more in defense than Canada as a share of GDP. Only Belgium, Luxembourg, Slovenia, and Spain spend less, according to World Bank data. But when the NATO Secretary General went to Canada, he praised Canada. He praised them. And he said the Canadian troops on Europe's eastern flank lead NATO's multilingual battle group in Latvia. But he also expressed his satisfaction with Canada's budgetary contribution. See, it's stuff like this. Trudeau will go out there and lecture everybody, and then he won't pay the bill. And this is like a lot of European countries. And we have to continue doing it alone. All right, we got more to come. It's the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Don't go away.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know, I'm not a big fan of men wearing flip-flops if they're not at a pool or the beach. It's just kind of my rule. I don't want to see a lot of man toes. But this guy takes it to a whole new level. Charles Gallagher, a bank robbery in flip-flops. That's right. But he hit his cash in a Maserati. So Charles Gallagher is a 66-year-old Destin resident, was arrested for allegedly robbing a Truist bank using a note to demand cash. He should just put his man toes up on the teller's counter. They would have given him anything he wanted. Authorities found Gallagher's black 2017 Maserati with concealed identifiers along with cash, a surgical mask, and glasses. He's probably one of those people that believe in mask mandates. Gallagher, who has been experiencing financial difficulties, faces up to 15 years in prison if convicted of the robbery charges. I don't know if they let you wear flip-flops in prison. I just don't know. They should, certainly for the showers, because it's probably disgusting, the floors. Where's the beef? Florida man was accused of stealing nearly $600 of meat from Publix in Fort Myers, Florida. Crime Stoppers of Southwest Florida is asking for help, locating a man accused of stealing $600 of meat products from a supermarket. That's a lot of beef. That's a lot of meat. But then again, in this economy, it's really not. It's like four hamburgers, a pack of hot dogs, and maybe a rack of lamb. That's probably all he really took, if you think about it. And then there's this guy. This Florida man is accused of pouring Pepsi and cleaning spray on women. He's found himself behind bars after he allegedly poured Pepsi and a cleaning spray on a woman. I wonder which one has more chemicals in it. Just curious. Antonio Acosta, 47 years old, was arrested and charged with felony battery after the incident that happened in Lake Panofsky, I'm probably not saying that right, on July 5th, according to an arrest affidavit from the Sumter County Sheriff's Office. Just after 7 p.m., deputies responded to a home and met the female victim who said Acosta had poured Pepsi and a cleaning agent on her. Now, this guy's still not as bad as CNN's Jim Acosta, for the record, just saying. The woman added that they got into a verbal altercation and as a result made a bed on the floor with pillows and blankets. He smashed a small table, then poured the liquids on her. Deputies said they found an empty Pepsi bottle and empty generic spray bottle with no label with a very small amount of pink liquid in the bottle. I don't know exactly what the substance was. It might just have been some sort of cleaning agent or something. But nevertheless, he was released, and this will shock you, arrested 2 days later for violating a no contact order. So he's currently being held without bond, according to online jail records. So excellent. And then a Florida woman was arrested after throwing a single piece of paper at a parent, a single piece of paper. I don't know why, but just I don't know really what one single piece of paper is going to do. It's a road rage incident. Maybe she thought she was going to give somebody a paper cut. I'm not quite sure. But she was charged with burglary and assault and battery. And it was in a parking lot. And she came up behind her and she threw a piece of paper, a single piece of paper. Oh, and an empty backpack. All right. So there you go. Got that, too. All right. There's breaking news all over on the Dana Show. It's me, Rich, in for Dana. Where will Biden go, if anywhere? Don't go away.
Where the access to that market was enticing enough to get companies to come in because they had access to over a billion people in a market, not a billion, but a lot of people in the market. And so they were doing it.
A lot of people. Not a billion, but a lot of people. There's a lot of people. Welcome back to the Dana Show. It's Rich Zioli from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD in Philadelphia. You can catch it on the Odyssey app. I do the afternoon drive show 3 to 7 p.m. So when this show concludes, I will jump over there and start that show. Dana will be back on Monday, and we'll have lots of convention coverage for you and lots of thoughts. So please welcome her back on Monday. And it's been great being with you the last couple of days. So thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. Jon Stewart put it best, I think, when he talked about Joe Biden. And, you know, look, the cascade of calls on Biden to exit the race comes from the fact that Biden is going to lose. That's what it all comes down to. These guys don't want to see Trump win. If Biden had a 10-point lead, you would not be hearing all this. But the fact is he doesn't, and he's going to lose. Now, remember, David Axelrod first said all this back in October of 2023. I remember because I was filling in for Dana back then. And I remember talking about that on this show. I remember saying that Axelrod was at this big soiree, the Obama soiree in Chicago, and then he comes back. Actually, it was a Sunday morning. You know, you go out on Friday night, you have cocktails, you catch up. Saturday is the big event, the big show, the big reunion. Sunday morning, everybody's getting ready to leave. You have a brunch cocktail, perhaps, strong coffee. You say your farewells and go on with your life. Well, it was that Sunday morning that Axelrod started with his tweet storm about Biden, how he's got to go, how he can't do it. I knew it. I knew that moment it was over for him. That meant the Obamas had colluded that weekend. They all talked about how he's got to go. Now, Ted Cruz still thinks Michelle Obama is going to jump in potentially. I dare not say that because people get very angry when I even suggest that. But I'm just going to say one thing, and that is this. Don't rule anything out with these people. Rule nothing out. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. Not making a prediction it's going to be Michelle Obama. I'm just simply saying just rule nothing out. They want to maintain power. And Jon Stewart is one of those people that does not want to see Trump become president again. He literally came back on the air because he wants to try to stop Trump from becoming president. Now, he's funny, and I love his sense of humor. I don't agree with him politically, but some things I probably do, actually. He used to go after Obama hardcore on all the drone strikes. you know, the kind of drone strikes that killed American citizens that we would have prosecuted Obama for, had the Supreme Court not come out and said presidents enjoy absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for their official acts. But I digress. It's for another show. Here's Jon Stewart on Joe Biden, Cut 24.
Think that you are soft selling the more fundamental aspect of people viewing somebody who, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't know of a job interview that you could have gone on and delivered the performance that was delivered by Joe Biden and gotten a job. And I'm not talking about the presidency. I'm talking about like cashier at Home Depot, like a job that you would not think, okay, that is the hardest job in the entire world.
Right? just not even a cashier at Home Depot. Rachel Maddow had an interesting point. And that is, she's wondering if Biden might be they're giving him polling numbers that are not based in reality. I made a joke on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon a couple weeks ago. I said that what they should do is just tell Biden he's already won and he's finished his second term and just let him fly home and fly off into the sunset. You do have to wonder if it's true that Dr. Jill Biden, you always have to say doctor by law, it's required by law. I don't know if you know that or not. Dr. Jill Biden, EDD. Dr. Jill Biden and Hunter and the others in the family are giving him polling numbers that are fugazis, fakes. I don't know. But how does he not see what we all see? See, that's why the Obama threat factor makes sense. If Biden can actually see the same numbers, it's, hey, look, pal, you're not going to be president either way. So get out a hero, or you're going to go out as a guy who's tarnished his legacy. I mean, destroyed his legacy. I think it's because they know about the Ukrainian corruption, the Hunter Biden laptop, what's on there and everything else. But maybe they just mean that you would have turned America over to the hands of Donald Trump. Maybe it's just that. I don't think so. I think the Obama people are making a very direct threat at Biden. You will destroy your legacy. But here's Rachel Maddow, Cut 26.
There are other arguments that are also data-based that other people might have a better shot at it. I think that what Nicole points out about the reality about polling numbers for incumbent presidents and the real history of that versus what President Biden said, which was not actually factually accurate, as far as I can tell. That's worrying because it makes me worry that the president is being given information about his political standing that may not be based in reality.
It's all about his political standing. None of this is about his dementia. None of this is about his senility. It's all about the fact that he's losing. If Biden had a lead in Pennsylvania right now, if Biden, he's going to, I believe it's Michigan for a rally. Could be Wisconsin. I'm not sure. I always reverse the M's and the W's. I think it's called dyslexia, right? Or is it when you upside down? Or maybe it's just I wasn't paying proper attention. He's going to do a rally somewhere. That's all I know. And if he had a 10-point lead in that state, or even a 5-point lead, we probably would not be having these conversations. But it's the fact that he's losing is why they're having these conversations. Otherwise, they would be fine. Just keep him as a puppet in the Oval Office and everything would be fine. But he doesn't have a lead. He's losing in every single swing state. Forget the national polls. National polls, I never put stock in national polls, ever. I don't care. I see national polls and I think to myself, these are jokes. You have to look at swing state polls and you got to look at several and you got to look at trends. And most importantly, when it comes to polling, you have to look at what people are telling the pollsters in the crosstabs. So people lie a lot of times about who they're going to vote for, no doubt about it, but they don't lie about how they feel about things. So if they believe that America's on the wrong track, they're going to be honest about that. If they may tell a pollster they're going to vote for somebody else, but when it comes to how they feel about things, they are more than happy to share their thoughts. And that's when a good pollster knows this person says they're going to vote for Biden, but they think America's on the wrong track and they think the economy stinks and everything else. I'm not buying it. You have to adjust for that. You have to account for that. Otherwise, throw the whole poll out. But trend after trend, poll after poll shows it's trending in a direction that is very – Biden can't come back from. He just can't. Which is why I still don't think he's going to end up being the candidate. He'll be the nominee, but not the candidate. And there's a distinction with that. The nominee for the purposes of making the swap. But here is this clip I was going to play. James Clyburn. So Clyburn is trying to convince everybody that Biden's obvious cognitive decline is just him trying to overcome this speech issue. Cut 22.
Those of us who are real close watchers of Joe Biden, we do know that he sometimes mangle words and phrases, but all of that is almost natural for people who grew up stuttering, and they do focus a little more. And when you focus a little more, you tend to lose the flow.
But you're not saying that what we've seen from this president over the last few weeks is just a function of him stuttering. I mean, it's more than that.
He doesn't stutter now. He is still working to overcome the stuttering of his childhood.
Right. It's a stutter. That's the issue. It's the stutter. That's all it is. He's just Stuttering Joe. Stuttering Joe. Brand new character on the radio show, Stuttering Joe. Clyburn does also admit, though, that Biden is not the same guy he was 2 years ago. Can't escape that fact, can you, Jim? Cut 23.
Is this the same Joe Biden that we saw 2 years ago?
Well, look, I grew up...
Is it the same Joe Biden?
No.
No, of course it's not. No, everybody knows that. Of course it's not. Now, Biden last night introduced Kamala Harris, talking about Kamala Harris as being Donald Trump. I played it earlier, but you know what? It's worth playing again just to refresh your memory from last night's debate, really right out of the gate, right out of the gate. Cut number three.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president.
Now, first of all, Trump would never be his VP. That's number one. Or anyone's VP, for that matter. So a reporter said to Biden last night, you know, Trump's using that to mock you, right? Cut 16.
Respectfully, earlier you misspoke in your opening answer. You referred to Vice President Harris as Vice President Trump. Right now, Donald Trump is using that to mock your age and your memory. How do you combat that criticism from tonight?
Listen to him.
This concludes tonight's press conference. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, everyone.
That's it. Get out. Get out. Get out. And nothing for you, Peter Ducey. You get nothing, and you'll like it. You get no questions. Now, Biden was asked a question last night about, why not just take a cognitive exam, right? Why won't you just take a cognitive exam, put this to bed, and move on with it? Well, number one, he'd fail. That's number one. Number two, he's too arrogant. Cut 14.
Are you open to taking another physical or test before the election? Governor Whitmer of Michigan, for instance, said it wouldn't hurt to take a test.
Well, look, two things. One, I've taken three significant and intense neurological exams by a neurologist. In each case, as recently as February, and they say I'm in good shape, okay? Although I do have a little problem with my left foot because it's not as sensitive because I broke my foot and didn't wear the boot. But I'm good. I'm tested every single day by my neurological capacity, the decisions I make every day. You talk to my staff, all of you talk to my staff. Sometimes my staff talks a lot. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think you have them telling you that all the major ideas we've undertaken haven't been in part initiated by me. I remember with the staff, and I said, I'm going to go to South Korea. We're going to get the chip. What are you doing? I'm going to get Japan and Korea back together again after essentially having hostilities toward one another since the end of World War II.
You know, I'm just saying, that doesn't make me feel better that you bring up your friggin' foot. We're talking about your brain. All right, it's the Dana Show. It's me, Rich, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Michigan. It's Michigan, because they just showed a guy on Fox News from Detroit. It's a black guy, and he goes, I don't think Joe Biden has the brain power to be president. Made me laugh. So that's where Biden's headed. He's headed to do a big rally in Michigan as he's hemorrhaging black support in places like Detroit. Beverly Hills Cop. Matter of fact, it's where Axel Foley was a police officer. All right, we got five things for you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You know, I'm always amazed at babies. Babies are remarkable. I have three children. I don't want another one, but this baby, pretty amazing. A one-year-old baby survived 2 days in stormy weather before being spotted crawling along the roadside by a truck driver. Days earlier, his four-year-old brother was found dead and his mom was arrested, according to a sheriff in Louisiana. But the baby is a miracle. Baby had numerous bug bites, but otherwise appeared to be in good condition. It's an absolutely terrifying and sad story, but also one that has an incredibly happy ending, at least for this baby and this miracle baby, without question. Was just crawling alongside the road. I mean, a major highway. And spent 2 days out in the weather on the side of the highway. And a trucker saw him. The trucker was in Mississippi, 350 miles where the children were found, that the mom was arrested. And so there you go. That's a miracle baby. It's a great story. Now, this bar owner, not a good story. Killed by a bowling pin setter machine in what's being described as a freak accident. I'm sorry, but I think any accident involving a pin setter machine is going to be a freak accident. It's a bowling alley. I was crushed by a pin setter. It sounds like something out of the movie Kingpin. It's so sad, really sad. But bowling, just remember, it can be a very, very dangerous sport. If you're good at it, though, you're definitely going to get a college scholarship. But prayers to the man's family. A Texas judge has ruled that you can make moonshine. This is good. A court decision in Texas yesterday has shaken up the world of home distilling, potentially paving the way for hobbyists to legally make their own spirits at home. It was a group of Hobby Distillers Association and some individual enthusiasts who challenged federal laws that make it illegal to distill alcohol at home. It's against the law right now to make whiskey, vodka, or other spirits at home. You can make wine, you can make beer, but you can't make the hooch. But now they're working on changing that, because if you break that law, it's punishable by up to 5 years in prison, a fine of up to 10 grand or both. Wine and beer are perfectly legal. You can make up to 100 gallons of wine or 100 gallons of beer every year for personal or family use. I can go through that in a weekend. Anyway, the plaintiffs argue that the government doesn't have the power to ban home distilling under the Constitution, and looks like they're going to win. So good for them. This is a great ruling by this judge. Let's hope it stands up. A pair of nudists save a tourist from a blowtorch-wielding pirate guy by tackling him to the ground. You know, the fact that these nudists had to tackle the blowtorch-wielding guy to the ground, I don't know. I kind of feel bad for him. I don't think I'd ever want to be tackled to the ground by a pair of nudists. Just saying for the record. All right, we got a lot more to come here on The Dana Show. More breaking news around Joe Biden. More calls for him to drop out of the race. Will he listen as David Axelrod, James Carville double down and say, Joe, you got to go. Don't go away.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I was watching some of the clips of Hollywood celebrities mocking and joking about Joe Biden's cognitive impairment during the break. I tell you, though, I don't know. It seems to me, if there's any idea of turning the tide of the calls of getting Biden out of the race, it's going to have to be his poll numbers that do it. He's going to be in Michigan. He's going to be speaking at a big rally. And I guess the question is for him now, every time he speaks, everybody's going to be paying attention to what he has to say and how he says it. It's not even the content of what he says, but it's the malfunctioning. It's the malfunctioning. That's what people are going to be looking at, is the Biden malfunctioning. Like, for example, last night during the presser, he malfunctioned when he was discussing China and Ukraine. And I don't know. I guess I think people think about the serious issues that are at stake in this election regarding world peace, regarding threats, regarding the stability of just the world and keeping us out of World War III. Because I really don't think people want to go to World War III. I don't think they want it. I mean, call me crazy, but I think it's one of the things that has always been attractive to Trump about Trump is that he didn't start any new wars. He's not looking to start new wars. And that's why they've always wanted to stop him, because the military industrial complex got to eat. They got to wet their beak. Well, Biden had a little malfunction last night when he was discussing China and Ukraine. Cut number 12.
And I think you'll see that some of our European friends are going to be curtailing their investment in Russia. I mean, in China, as long as China continues to have this indirect success, help to Russia in terms of being able to help their economy as well as help them in as a consequence of that their ability to fight in Ukraine.
Okay, I feel better. I feel much better. I think what Congressman Jim Hines says is really the key here. And this is the sense of it, of this is not good for the world and for the stability of the world and for America. And his point now, and this is why I think Biden has problems, is that it's going to affect down ballot races. Yesterday in Pennsylvania, there was a new poll that came out showing that Dave McCormick, who is the Republican running for the U.S. Senate, now the lead that his opponent, Bob Casey Jr., the lesser Casey, his dad was a much different Democrat a long time ago, that Casey's lead is evaporating. It's basically gone. And you've got, I think a big reason why Democrats are jumping ship here is to save their own hide. If they think Joe Biden brings them down with them, then they're out. Because everybody in politics, everybody is about their own self-interest in politics. Don't think for a second anybody really cares about anything else but their own political future. And they'll jump ship. They'll absolutely jump ship if they have to. They're not worried about that. And I think Congressman Jim Hines said the quiet part out loud, cut 18.
But the hard reality is, and I'm far from the only Democrat who believes this, that the numbers, the trajectory, what Americans feel in their bones right now suggest not only that Joe Biden would lose this race, but that he or we would lose the Senate and the House. And the stakes are so high that we need to set aside that loyalty and that poetry and that romance and the charge of the Light Brigade, and we all go down together in favor of some really hard-nosed analysis.
If they think that he's taking them down with him, they're not going to let him take them down with him. No way. No way. So you know that Wisconsin radio station, they admit that they edited Biden interviews to make him not look as bad as he is. So you heard that. You heard that. I talked about it yesterday with you. It's a story that kind of broke last couple days, and it hit a fever pitch, and the radio station apologized. So here's what they edited out of their interview. We have some audio of it as well. But over at townhall.com, we've known it for years, but since Joe Biden imploded during his June 27th debate with Donald Trump, the guardrails keeping him safe from the media were also destroyed. The establishment press could have reported on the president's health for years. Matt Vespa writing this. They just opted not to due to political bias. This year, it's now because they feared being seen as helping Trump or losing access. All inexcusable reasons not to cover the president's marked mental decline. Even radio interviews, which are triple A-ball regarding the difficulty of this job, are heavily monitored and edited at the behest of the president's team. A Wisconsin radio station admitted to editing a transcript of their July 3rd hit with Biden, which came at the request of his reelection campaign. According to Politico, the American people already watch a debate. They're not going to be fooled. And what they reported was Milwaukee radio station says it agreed to cut out parts of their interview that Joe Biden made in which he looked bad after the Biden campaign called and demanded it. They demanded that they edit this out. So Wisconsin-based talk radio station edited the interview with President Biden at the request of the campaign before it aired last week. Broadcaster Civic Media said in a statement yesterday. Immediately after the interview conducted on July 3rd, the Biden campaign called, asked for two edits to the recording, and the production team cut two segments after determining them to be non-substantive. Civic Media Engagement became aware of the edits Monday and shared the audio of the full unedited interview in its Thursday statement, citing the gravity of the current political moment, the stakes in this election, and the importance of public scrutiny of public officials in the highest office. In other words, they also now want Joe Biden gone, which is why they're turning all this over. With a high-profile interview comes a listener expectation that journalistic interview standards will be applied even for non-news programming. We did not meet those expectations. Civic Media disagrees with the team's judgments in the moment. WAUK removed a portion from the interview in which Biden said, quote, and in addition to that, I have more blacks in my administration than any other president, all other presidents combined, and in major positions, cabinet positions. Host Earl Ingram had asked Biden about what's at stake for black voters in the election. The station also cut a second sentence from Biden when he was referring to former President Donald Trump's 1989 call for the death penalty for the since exonerated Central Park Five. Quote, I don't know if they even call for their hanging or not, but they said he was convicted of murder. There isn't. He won't even acknowledge that. And we have the audio for you to listen to as well. Cut 27.
In addition to that, I have more blacks in my administration than any other president, all of the presidents combined, and major positions.
You see, when you have a situation where you've got the media and they're working very overtime to help the Democrat nominee for the presidency prevail by looking better, and they're editing content that is not only doing a disservice to their listeners, but that is also a fundamental threat to the First Amendment, because it really implies something at the heart of the farce that is journalistic integrity in this country, which is that we have a First Amendment, so we have freedom of the press, and the idea is that the press will then hold government accountable. That's the idea. That's the basis for it. The founders were acutely aware of the need for having the press corps hold government accountable, and they wanted that. And they did not want Congress to be able to get in the way. So, knowing that then, I guess the question for you then is this not a threat to the First Amendment? Because if these guardians of the Democratic Party are willing to do the bidding of the government, then we don't really have a free press. We have a press that's either in bed with government, or so intimidated by government that they want to do its bidding. Maybe they're afraid they're going to lose their FCC license. Maybe they're afraid they're going to lose whatever funding. I think this is a public station. Maybe they get funding. And it's the whole thing with NPR, too. And then the other aspect of this becomes, since their audiences are so limited, like we in conservative talk radio, our audiences are strong and stronger than ever, actually. Radio in general, it's not doing as great. You know, music stations now have to compete with podcasts and streaming stations and commercial free and everything else. Talk radio, we compete with podcasts. We also make our own podcasts, and we also podcast our shows. So people that come here, they come to talk radio because they want a different way of looking at the world versus what the corporate media gives them, which is exactly what the powers that be want them to put out. It's a threat to the First Amendment in the sense that what the hell do you even need a First Amendment for if the media is just going to do the bidding of government? You don't. And this is why I was disappointed with the Supreme Court's ruling in that case when they came out and they said, this is Missouri v. Biden, they said that when the White House was pressuring big tech to edit content, to edit social media posts and everything else, they went along with it. And the Supreme Court said, well, we don't really think they're standing here. They kicked it down to the lower court. Justice Alito's dissent in that was brilliant when he said, listen, you know, the very fact that the government believed it could do this is a problem. And on behalf of the First Amendment, we need to say, no, absolutely not. You cannot intimidate social media companies. You can't intimidate the press. Now, I don't know if this radio station was worried that maybe their NPR funding could be lost or whatever else. NPR, think about it, they cater to a very small audience that wants to hear what they come there for. So they want to hear the opinion of the left, and they're more than happy to give it to them. They're not there to do actual journalism, but then just say that, you know, be honest about it and say, we're National Public Radio. We serve the bidding of the left. And then cut their funding. Don't give them public funding anymore. I think the entire concept of public funding of news and journalism is completely antithetical to the First Amendment. It really is. You create state-controlled media, and now you've got states now like New York, for example, passing laws to give money to local, quote-unquote, journalist outlets, local news, to try to save news from the big, evil corporate media. But they're all on the same team. I don't want government spending a dollar when it comes to radio, TV, newspapers, or anything else in the form of supporting them. The government wants to buy ads, let them buy ads. They want to run their pieces, they want to run their PSAs, they want to do all those things. That's a whole other story. I'm talking about funding these places. And I wonder if this radio station was feeling the heat. Yeah, I wonder if this radio station was feeling the sense, or if they just philosophically just want to do what they could to help Biden. I wonder. You know, and when you think about the weaponization of the Department of Justice, when you think about that and how this Department of Justice goes after people, and this is a progressive talk radio network, civic media. So they are without a doubt in the tank for the left, no doubt. And had it not been for the fact that that debate showed Biden for who he is, and the entire media, which was covering for him in an absolute cover up, absolute scandal, covering for Biden, you and I were being told they were cheap fakes. And where is the corporate media coming out and saying, we're sorry? We're sorry. We were in on it. We were not doing our job. We don't really exist to be a check on government. We exist to do the bidding of the left. We exist to do what the left wants us to do. And we're sorry. And we're going to do better. Please don't hold your breath. It's the Dana Show. We're coming right back.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I'm following the advice of my commander-in-chief, the chief of staff of the military, as well as the Secretary of Defense and our intelligence.
You're the commander-in-chief. Anyway, what does it really matter? Maybe he meant this. Maybe he meant his wife is the commander-in-chief. That's possible. That's certainly possible. He did say that as well, that his wife is kind of running the show. I mean, don't think that at all. I mean, don't think Jill runs the show. Why would you think that at all? Cut number 7.
I love my staff, but they add things. They add things all the time. At the very end. I'm catching hell for my wife for that. Anyway.
So Joe Biden also said, listen, if I slow down, it's a sign I shouldn't be doing it, right? I mean, am I right? Cut number 9.
If I slow down, I can't get the job done. That's a sign that I shouldn't be doing it. But there's no indication of that yet. None.
You said there was, though. You said you were slowing down and you wanted your staff to stop scheduling meetings so late. So that's actually, you literally said you, anyway, it doesn't matter. Biden says he spent more time with Xi Jinping than any world leader. And he handed in his notes. I just don't know what that means. I handed in my notes. I'm not quite sure. Is that like a dig at Trump? Don't forget, Joe Biden also had classified documents, and Republicans are trying to get the audio recordings of his conversations with Robert Hur, the special counsel, and of course, Merrick Garland, the attorney general of the United States, who's doing the bidding of protecting Joe Biden, will not turn it over. And there was an effort to hold him in contempt of Congress and fine him $10,000 a day. And of course, Republicans were a no-show for the vote, so they couldn't get it passed. Anyway, cut 10.
And I've spent more time with Xi Jinping than any world leader has. Over 90 hours since being vice president all the way through, for real. And by the way, I handed in all my notes.
What does that even mean, out of curiosity? What does that even mean? I have no idea. But anyway, he handed in his notes. I'm sure we'll look forward to reading those notes. They sound to be riveting to me. Biden also said, actually, this is the DNC chair, who was defending Biden by saying, listen, the guy forgets the name of his VP. Stop with the nitpicking, all right? I mean, come on, enough with this. So he called Zelensky Putin. What are you going to do? Cut 17.
Not on whether or not Joe Biden stumbles over things or has a stutter. I mean, hell, sometimes I can't even remember my kids' names because I'm so tired, right? So we got to stop the nitpicking.
Okay,
and then focus on the work ahead. This guy's
done it
in the past.
I get you.
I get you. But it's kind of a big deal to forget his own vice president's name and compare him, think it's Trump. Doesn't matter, does it? All right, Steve, you got an audio clip for me that we can close out the week and get into the weekend? Because I know we're all excited for it.
Yeah, something completely different here. I don't know if you guys knew last night was the ESPYs on ABC, and they had Serena Venus Williams on stage, and they decided to take a dig at Harrison Butker. So here we go.
So go ahead and enjoy women's sport
like you would any other sport.
Because they are sports. Yes.
Except you, Harrison Butker. We don't need you.
At all. Like ever.
That's good. Right. I love it. Don't you love it, guys? Just how they want to just throw us all aside. All right, that's the show. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. It's been great filling in for Dana. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to do my show in Philly now. Enjoy it. And thanks for listening. It's Rich Zeoli for Dana. Thank you.